It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The representative from NY24, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney. Congresswoman, good morning.
Good morning. What a beautiful day. I don't know what it looks like in Buffalo, but wow, it was 59 degrees when I woke up this morning.
It's a great day. That's a little cold for me, but it's a great day. And if you're a golfer, I'm sure it's a great day to have a tee time. Congresswoman, we talked 7 days ago, and I want to start where we left off, and that is this election, which, I mean, one for the history books, and it's only July. Last week, we talked about, you know, Kamala Harris was looking to be the nominee. Since then, she has apparently gotten the delegates, and just your thoughts on how this is all playing out.
Yes, what an incredible year. It's really unusual, and every weekend usually brings some dynamic news, although let's see, the weekend's not over yet. Well, I wasn't sure if she would actually stay in, but I think she will because she did secure the delegates this week, and she did unleash a lot of the frozen funding that was not going to Joe Biden that is now going to her now that she looks to be a certainty. Of course, that'll all be determined when the delegates vote on August 19th at the Democrat convention. So, look, it's historic. It's going to be very interesting to see how she unravels her terrible record, the most far left member of the Senate when she was there, left of Bernie Sanders, who's a self-proclaimed communist. So that is really worth noting. You see the scramble to try to erase the public record of her record, obviously. A lot of media trying to take down that she wasn't really the border czar, that it wasn't her primary responsibility. You see that trying to take down her record and changing the way they do ratings so that she doesn't look like she's left of Bernie Sanders, which is really notable because in 2020, Bernie Sanders was leading in the polls, and that's when the Democrats interfered in their own Democratic process, in their own primary process, because their voters were supporting Bernie Sanders, and they basically, again, forced Pete Buttigieg out, forced Amy Klobuchar out, and the two of them were tearfully out of the race on the same day. And all of a sudden, that boosted Joe Biden, who was their preferred pick because they didn't want someone like Bernie Sanders, again, a self-proclaimed communist, you know, supporter of the Green New Deal, supporter of open borders, supporter of everything leftist, everything self or authoritarian. And they wanted to have someone like Joe Biden in, who has an image, not a record, but had an image of being a moderate. And then Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris. So when they forced them out, and here they are with someone worse than Bernie Sanders, if you look at her record. So now they've got to come around and focus on issues to try to boost her. But I think it's going to be very difficult for the Democrats to do this with the out there. Yes, they're going to have a lot of money. They're going to portray, you know, President Trump is some kind of diabolical monster, which they always do and they've always done. They're going to undermine our political process, go after the Supreme Court, continue with lawfare, all that's going to happen. But I do think that they're going to have, you know, she's in her honeymoon period right now. I think it's going to start eroding as we move forward into her real record getting out there. And, you know, there's going to be over $1 billion spent on this race with only 100 days or more to go. So a lot to look forward to. So I would say buckle up. It's going to be quite an interesting election year.
I was going to ask you about the border czar. I mean, am I remembering it wrong, or was she actually the border czar? Because like you said, this week it seems like the job of a lot on the other side of the aisle were to make sure that the point was out there that she was never in charge of the border.
Well, she was assigned that task by Joe Biden, and many in the media called her the border czar proudly. And now they're taking that down. They're refuting their own assertions, trying to scrub their own websites to take that away. But look, the truth is she has done very little. She went to the El Paso sector in 2021. And by the way, I was in the El Paso sector in 2021. That was before it really got busy like it is now. So she really didn't take the time. She was talking about, you know, the southern three triangle countries that are supposedly part of this, ignoring the fact that There are over 130 different nationalities represented by illegal border crossings. She's never been to the northern border, which is really relevant to all of us. I've been sounding that alarm since I went there back in 2023, last year, when I heard we had huge increases there. Recent discussions say that we have over 440% increase by that's put out by Customs and Border Protection. We have a lot of issues coming across the northern border. Even Fox News was up there this weekend for a few days, watching people literally walk over the Canadian-U.S. border. So she's not even talking about any of those things. And she was indeed, whether you want to call her czar or not, that was her specific assignment by Joe Biden. And I described her as someone who remains uninformed, I think almost intentionally. And she hasn't put the effort in that she needs to do to solve this problem, because I don't think she really has an interest. So she's weak on the immigration issue. She's done nothing about the increasing food and gas prices, the inflations we're all seeing. She hasn't really distinguished the difference between rioting and free speech. She was out there giving money to these protesters who were committing violent crimes, actually, you know, committing violence instead of, you know, peaceably protesting, you know, doing pitch videos to help with bail of people who were destroying federal property during the so-called Summer of Love. You know, all of this is just proof that she is not ready to serve. And another real astonishing thing about it, which I think is going to be interesting how she handles it, is she was, after her meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, who had met with an historic address, an absolutely amazing address in the U.S. Congress, laying bare the facts, she actually came out and she used statistics from the Gaza Ministry of Health, you know, basically Hamas. She parroted Hamas's claims of genocide, starvation, and the civilian number of casualties. Instead of those things, all had been debunked, by the way, months earlier by the UN. Imagine that, which is definitely not a right-leaning organization. And she just continues to parrot whatever she needs to parrot of the Democrat talking points. And I worry what the Democrats are going to do when they pull the teleprompter away from her, just as their concerns were of taking it away from Joe Biden.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think there'll be a debate between former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris?
I think there has to be. What I think is astounding is the Democrats are actually calling President Trump weak for wanting to change the time of the debate. You can say a lot of things about President Trump. Weak he is not. This man was nearly assassinated, stood up with blood streaming down his face and yelled fight, and is back on the campaign trail, going to outdoor rallies. Talk about, he is a profile in courage. He is willing to go out and continue to fight for the American people. So I think they ought to change their dialogue on President Trump, maybe come up with something else. One thing he is not is weak. He is very courageous and strong, and everyone knows that. He is faced and overcome incredible adversaries, adversity, I should say, from the Democrats, whether it's, you know, taking him down using lawfare, going after his family, everything that's been done to President Trump to try to take him out, you know, without using the ballot box. And they even tried doing that in 2020, and I think they're going to do it again in 2024, honestly.
I want to ask you about Netanyahu's speech, but my last question about the election, because this has gotten a lot of play on social media, and I know the real world's not on social media, but it's out there. J.D. Vance is getting a lot of heat for comments he made about, I believe he said, cat ladies in a speech. What's your thoughts on the responses to that, those comments?
You know, you can pick on everything, little thing he says, and that's what the media is going to do, because they're not going to go after J.D. Vance's record. They're not going to go to J.D. Vance's, amazing, rise from poverty, from Appalachia and Ohio, to becoming a lawyer, serving in the Marine Corps, becoming a lawyer, being a successful entrepreneur. They're going to pick on every little thing he says, because that's all they have. He's a young guy with a, interesting family. And I think that that's going to be, that just shows that they have nothing really on him. Those things are, we hear them complain about Republicans constantly, those types of, really insignificant comments. If you want to talk about comments, let's just run all the stuff that Joe Biden has said, starting from what he said about President Obama all the way through his years, whether it's racist, sexist. And then look at everything that Kamala Harris has said. I mean, they really aren't having, they have nothing really to stand up for when it talks about errant comments. And look, I do have a lot of friends who are cat ladies, and they're proud of it. I love cats too. So does that make me a victim of J.D. Vance's ire?
I have to say, I have nothing against cat ladies, Congresswoman. I'm not a fan of cats. I love dogs, not a fan of cats. And I grew up with cats. I don't know. I don't know. That's a topic for another time.
I love cats, dogs, horses. I grew up with horses. I love animals. My mother was a docent at the zoo when I grew up. So the only thing I'm not a real fan of is reptiles, but I love everything else.
Well, we can agree on the reptiles. I will never understand how someone can sleep with a snake in a tank on the other side of the same room. I'll never, ever be able to understand that. Now, now to the speech on the 24th, Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, it was in D.C., and we saw, was it about half of the Democrats not attend?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, Netanyahu is doing everything that he is doing to try to preserve and protect the only democracy in the Middle East. He's doing exactly, if there weren't Netanyahu there, it would be whoever would be in the next prime minister would be doing the same thing to protect Israel in this time of need. So one thing that they fail to understand is they try to blame everything in Israel on Netanyahu, which is a fool's errand. Look, Israel is more unified now than ever. They have a vibrant democracy. They have robust disagreements and debates on policy. But I think he is mostly, people mostly agree with what he's trying to do to try to come up with a peaceful solution without getting completely dissolved by what's going on with Hamas and what's happening in Gaza and the continued attacks being sponsored by Iran, which is a huge fraud. I mean, this is incredible. I've been talking about this for a long time. Iran continues to be emboldened by the weak policies coming from Biden and Harris. And they're going to continue to make it very difficult in the Middle East for a lot of people seeking democracy, undermining the Abraham Accords, the historic accords that President Trump put in place that were starting to give people in the Middle East hope for peace and prosperity. Netanyahu's speech laid bare the truth, the facts. He dispelled a lot of the mythology and a lot of the false sort of propaganda that's coming out of Hamas, that is funded by Iran, that a lot of these protesters are believing in. They're gullible. They don't want to participate in, real fact finding and understand what's going on. I thought it was an excellent speech. It was historic. He's a courageous leader. You don't have to agree with 100% of his policies. He's trying to stand up for the Israeli people, but he also is standing up for America. And I thought that was a very important point that he made. He is fighting our war there. He is standing up to radicalism, and he made a great analogy between what was happening in World War II under Nazi Germany when people turned their backs and did not stand up to the Nazis. We need to do that today. We need to stand up to these radical anti-Semitic people who are also anti-American. And so I think it was a really important speech. It was great to get to speak with him actually after his appearance on the floor. I got a little moment with him. With one of my real good friends and colleagues, David Kustoff from Tennessee, and also Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee and his wife. It was really great to just have our own little meeting with him, just happened to be there at the right time, and to talk to him about our strong work standing up for Israel and also standing up against Iran, who has created the unrest in the Middle East that is the problem. A lot of these countries would love to be part of the Abraham Accords. Look, at Saudi Arabia was on the cusp of joining the Abraham Accords, interested in changing everything that's happening in Saudi Arabia. A lot of the negatives have been turned around by their great ambassador, Princess Rima. She has done a lot to bring us forward in an area that really needs to get on the map, to bring prosperity, to bring human rights, and they're trying. But as long as Iran is continuing to cause violence, to fund proxies against other countries in the Middle East, we aren't going to resolve this problem. We're not going to see peace. We're not going to see prosperity. And this administration is so weak on Iran. It's really what is causing this prolonged and perpetual violence that we're seeing there.
And as this was going on, there were riots and protesting outside the Capitol. Congresswoman, I feel like that didn't get the media attention that it should have.
Well, we were watching it. I mean, I don't know, maybe they cut some of it off, but it was certainly on social media. While I was in the chamber listening to the speech, you could see a lot of the protesters out there, on our social media feeds, whether it was like Instagram, Twitter, those types of things. So it was out there. I think a lot of the, say, corporate media, maybe ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, were probably minimizing it. But I saw quite a bit on Fox Business, Fox News. And I think it's important. People should see they desecrated a flag. It was not a flag they own. We have free speech. If you want to buy your own flag and burn it, you can do that. Of course, it's offensive to people like me who has a son who's serving in the military or others who really believe strongly in the symbol of our flag, which stands for freedom and human rights. But they took down flags that were owned by the federal government, in front of Union Station, the train station, and they were burning those. So that's destruction of someone else's property, that's actually prohibited. They were also desecrating monuments, putting on Hamas is coming, death to America. These are Americans, I think, for the most part, doing this. These are people who are anti-American, driven by this, just evil force that is Iran, using Hamas, Hezbollah, and these organizations that are involved in terrorism.
My final question, I know we're going a little over the time, but you posted this a few hours ago about new OSHA regulations. Can you explain to people what's going on with that and what the new regulations would do for volunteer fire departments?
Yes, thank you so much for mentioning this, Joe. We're going to be sounding the alarm on this. I continue to hear from our volunteer firemen across this very, very expansive district. They are trying to put in place a law and a rule. It's actually not been made permanent yet, but we're in the beginning stages of it, that would not allow volunteer fire departments to have any trucks that are over 20 years old. If you've been to a volunteer fire department across any part of upstate New York, most of them are over 20 years old, and they spend a lot of time fixing and repairing them and keeping them up to date. This would be devastating to our fire service. It would threaten our public safety and their ability to answer and respond to calls. This is something that we're fighting against. We're going to be going across the district to make sure that this law doesn't go into effect. An inspection is what needs to be the standard, not the age of the vehicle. If the vehicle is in perfect condition and it happens to be 21 years old, then it still should be in operation. And let me tell you something, these fire department members, many of these volunteers, they have a job by day and they do this by night. They answer the real call to serve, to keep us safe. And many of them are modern day MacGyvers. They get out and they fix the equipment. They make it happen. They make it work. We owe a debt of gratitude to these people. And this would be devastating to those people who are doing a full day's work and then serving their community in a volunteer way to keep us safe. I can't think of anything more heroic than that. And we're going to be fighting to protect our volunteer fire departments across the district. But thanks for asking that. I hope that continues to get out there.
Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, we really appreciate the time last Sunday and today.
Thanks so much. Great to be on.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.